I'd like to thank everyone who has come out this evening. We appreciate having you here, and it is a privilege to be here to sound forth the message of the gospel. So before I open from God's word and speak from it, we're just going to take a few minutes to speak with him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before thee and we thank thee for the privilege we have to come and to hear and to sound forth the message of the gospel. We thank thee that it is a message that indeed there is room. We thank thee that there is room for each one here in this audience this evening, Lord. And we'd love to hear of a soul who would come to know Christ as their personal Savior. We just ask for your blessing upon your word as we'd speak from it and read from it. We just pray that your spirit would move even this evening. In his precious name, amen. So I'd like to discuss with you this evening, or ask you, and have you consider three questions. So I want you to consider, where are you? I want you to consider, where are you? I want you to consider, where do you want to be? And I want you to ask yourself, how do you plan to get there? Three questions. Where are you? Where do you want to be? And how do you plan to get there? There are many people, and they think they know where they are on their way to heaven. There are many people, and they know they want to be in heaven. And there are many people that have their own way and their own plan to get there. So I want to look with you what the Scripture says on where you are. I want to look with you on what the Scripture says about where you want to be. And I want to look with you about what the Scripture says about how you can be there. Okay, so I want to first take a reading with you from Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans chapter 3, and we're going to read at verse 23. So we're going to look at the first question here on where are we? We're going to take two readings and we're going to consider where are you? So Romans 3 and 23, and it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is man's condition. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're going to turn over to Hebrews 9, Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to take a reading at verse 27. Hebrews 9, we're going to take a reading at verse 27. And this is again concerning man's condition. And it says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So the Bible places us, places people, this world, people tonight in their sins. So all have sinned. We've learned that from the Scripture, that we've all sinned. And it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this judgment. So I want to bring out two things about you tonight and about your condition and about where you are. One, if you're not saved and you never had a time in your life when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you are in your sins. That is one description of you. And if you've never met this period that is appointed unto men called death, if you've never crossed this pillar, you are in time. So I want to consider you and your sins. And I want to consider you in this little period we have called time. So where are you? And the Bible says that all have sinned. You see, if there's never been a time in your life when that condition of you being in your sins has changed, there's never been a time when your sins were forgiven, you are found in your sins. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, God has a perfect standard. God's standard is absolute holiness and absolute perfection. And we find ourselves in a condition where we have all sinned. And we have all fallen short of God's standard. We have all fallen short of God's righteousness, we have all sinned. We've all missed God's standard. When it comes to sin, we find out because God is holy, sin requires punishment. It requires judgment. Because of sin, it says, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Because of our condition, and because we are in sin, it is appointed to us once to die. And you see, it says after this, the judgment. You see, we are in a little period called time, a little period this side of death. But during this little period, that's all we have to prepare for eternity. So if we consider where we are, we're in a little period of time to prepare for a vast eternity. And if we're found in our sins, the Bible says after this, the judgment. So we, or you, in your current position, if you've never had a time when your sins have been forgiven, you are in your sins. And you only have a little period called time to prepare for eternity. You see, the Bible has something to say about our life, this little period of time we call life. And it says it is as a vapor. Just appears for a little while, and then it passes away. You see, we only have just a little speck to prepare for eternity. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So where are we? We're in just a little period called time. What's our condition? Before God, our condition is that we are sinners. And what are the implications of that? The appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So I want to ask you, not only do I want you to consider where you are in relevance to time and to eternity, but when it comes to eternity, where do you want to be? You see, this chart here has two locations. It has hell and the lake of fire, and it has heaven, and the new heaven and the new earth. You see, there's two locations after this life. You'll either face God's judgment in a place called hell and be cast into the lake of fire, or you experience a place in heaven with him. If we were to read, I'm going to take the time to read in John chapter 14. And the Lord Jesus, he would speak with his disciples. John chapter 14, and just at verse 1. The Lord Jesus, he would speak with disciples, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether or where I go, you know, and the way, you know." You see, the Lord Jesus, he could tell his disciples that there's a place that is prepared for them. See, I want to tell you one thing right now. There's good news. There's a place in heaven, and there's room for you. There is someone, and he has gone to a cross, to a rugged cross, and when he was on that cross, he prepared a place there for you. You see, there's no place for me and my sins in heaven. But because of the work that was done on that cross, my sins can be washed away. And I've been brought into a relationship as a son of God. And I've earned a place in heaven, not because of what I've done, but because of what Christ has done on the cross. There is a place in heaven that is prepared for you. There are many mansions. There is much room. There's room for you. And it is the loving desire of the Father that you would be there. You see, there's a God in heaven, and as he looked down on mankind, and as he saw man, and he saw them in a condition of sin, destined for judgment, he saw and he looked upon you in love. We could read in Genesis, and we could read as God, he looked at man, and he looked at man and their sin, and in all their vileness. And it said that he was sorrowful that he had made man, and it grieved him at his heart. You see, it grieved God when he looked at man and their sins, because that was his creation, and he loved them, and he would have to punish them. He would have to bring judgment, and it grieved him at his heart. If we were to read in Ezekiel, he speaks the words of the Lord to the nation, and he said, the Lord, he does not delight in death. He doesn't delight in the death of him that dies. Therefore, turn or repent and live. You see, if the Father looks down and he looks down on people who are condemned to judgment, as he looks down on people who are in their sins, it grieves him because he loves you. And the Father does not take any delight in having to judge sin. It's not the will of God that you'd be punished in your sin. The Father is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, to knowledge of the truth. You see, God in his love, he loved you. And in his compassion, what do we read? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, it is the desire of the Father that each one here would come to know and to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to know him as their personal Savior. It is the desire of the Father not that you would end up in judgment and in hell, but that you might end up in heaven and in a throne with him. If we are to read in Isaiah, we can read concerning hell. And it says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirs up the dead for thee. You see, there's a place in hell, and it was never intended for you. When it comes to hell, hell was never made for you. When it comes to hell, the desire of the Father was not that you would ever be there. But if you reject the offer of his Son, room will be made. You see, room has already been made in heaven for you. But if you reject the offer of his Son, hell from beneath will move for you. There will be those who will get off their seats, it says, and they'll move to meet you at your coming. You see, when we can consider hell, we can consider heaven, we consider all the wonders of heaven. It says, the Lord himself shall wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be a place, there will be no pain, and there will be no suffering and no sickness, for all things have been made new. But as we can consider hell, it will be a place, we read it was a place of torment. We can read the words of a man who cried out for a drop of water, for he was tormented in the flame. And hell will be a conscious place. I think that's maybe the saddest thing of it all, that we'll be conscious. For someone to end in hell, they'll be conscious and they'll have a remembrance of what took place in this little period called life. We can find that man as he'd cry out for a drop of water. And as he'd plead for just a little bit of refreshment, he was told, remember thou in thy lifetime. I don't think when I get up here, I even really understand what hell is. If I did, it would probably change the way I spoke. I don't even know if I would speak of it. But the Bible tells us there is a real place called hell. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. That if you die in your sins, you will end up in a place called hell. But you also have the option. There's a place called heaven, and there's a place there that is prepared for you. So I want to ask you, where do you want to be? There are two locations. There's a place that is prepared for you, and there's a place where room will be made for you. There's heaven, there's the mansions above, and there's hell from beneath. Then the question I have to ask you, I can assume you want to be in heaven. So I want to ask you, how do you plan to get there? We're going to take a reading in Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. I see some children here. I don't know if you've learned this in Sunday school. I remember learning this verse in Sunday school. Proverbs 14. And we're going to read it verse 12. And it says in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, there are many people tonight, and they know where they want to be, but they have their own way and their own plan to get there. So I want you to consider, how do you plan to get to heaven? You see, there are those people out there, and they tell you, well, I live a good life. I haven't done anything that bad. I can remember, it would be maybe 2 years ago, I was in Halifax at a laundromat, staying up there with friends for training, and I went to the laundromat as the washing machine and dryer had broken down. So I was in the laundromat, and I was talking with a man there, and we got talking about religion. And I told him I was a Christian. And he asked me, he said, can you tell me? He says, somebody told me, he says, I was talking with a pastor, and that pastor told me, he said, that all it means to be a Christian is to tell God you're a sinner and ask him for forgiveness. And I said, well, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is just and willing to forgive us our sins. I said, so to be a Christian is simply to admit before God you are a sinner and ask for forgiveness because Christ has done all the work. And he goes, huh, but I don't think I'm that bad. He goes, you see, I know I'm a drunk, but I've never hit my wife. And I swear, but I've never told any big lies. And he started going through this list. You see, I've done a few bad things, but I don't think I'm that bad. You see, when it comes to our works, for you to read in James, it would teach us that if we offend the law in one spot, we might as well break the whole law. You see, when it comes to God's standard is absolute perfection, absolute holiness. We've already read, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when it comes to a spot in heaven, it should not be our works. When it comes to our spot in heaven, it's not what good we can do. In fact, we read it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, when it comes to our way, it's not what good I have done. So when it comes to your plan to heaven, the scriptures say, it's not your good works. You know, some people think, well, going to church will get me to heaven. Going to church and learning about God, praying, It'll get me to heaven. You know, it's very similar to your works. And I'm happy to see so many people here who are at church and who are learning about God. And I hope you take the time to pray and to read your Bible. But the scriptures tell us of a group of people, and they were knocking on the outside of the door, and they said, "We have heard you teach in the streets. We've been to church. We've heard you. We know your words and we know what you say." But he tells them, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." You see, going to church, it is important, but it's not what will save you. And there's some people, and they know the gospel, and they know how they can be saved. And they think, "I enjoy life a little too much. You know, I'm going to get saved, but not tonight." You know, some people have their plan not on how to get saved. They know God's plan for how to get saved, but they have their own plan for when they'll get saved. And that is not tonight. Put it off till later, not tonight. What does the scripture say to a person who has that plan? It says, "Thou fool, for tonight thy soul shall be required of thee." You see, there was a man and he thought that he was ready for a long time. He had lots of life ahead of him. He was going to sit down, he was going to eat, he was going to drink, and he was going to be merry. He was going to make happy because there's lots of time ahead. But what was he told? "Thou fool, for this night thy soul shall be required of thee." You see, if your plan is not tonight, it's a very dangerous plan. Because as we've already considered from James, your life it is as a vapor. The scriptures say, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." That is God's plan, to come now. And some people say, "I'll just ignore it." It's not even putting it off another night. They just say, "I'll ignore it. I'll tune it out." Some people tell you there is no God, and there is no beyond this, and they just choose to ignore it. They don't even want to consider it. What does the scripture say? "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, they should consider their latter end." You see, there is a beyond this life. And ignoring it and putting it off and saying it's not there, closing your ears, putting your head in the sand like an ostrich, it's not going to help you out. Ignoring the problem doesn't get rid of it. You see, if someone was to come with a problem, maybe a sickness or an illness, and the doctor told them what it was and said there's a treatment for it, and they just said, "You know what, I'm going to ignore it," wouldn't be a very wise decision. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to God's plan, when it comes to your problem before God and your condition in your sin, don't ignore it. But as I said, that was your way. Scripture said there's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The question is, what is God's way? So you'll turn back to John chapter 14, where we just read. John chapter 14. And I'll take the time to read at verse 1 again. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you might be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Then Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You'll read verse 6 again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, when it comes to the way to heaven, it's not your way, but it's through God's way, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to, there is a work that needs to be done for you to get to heaven. There was a work that needed to be done. That work was done at the cross. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross and he suffered on the cross, he paid the price, he paid the penalty for my sin and for your sin. And there was a work that was done. It's not my good works, but it's the work that Christ has done. What did he cry on the cross? He said, it is finished. He said, it's not going to church. Going to church won't take you to heaven. But where can you go? The Lord Jesus, he cried out and he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, it's not your works, it's not your labors. You can be heavy laden and toiling to try earn your spot to heaven. Lord Jesus says, come to him, and he'll give you rest. He'll give you rest from all your works and all your toils, because he has finished it all on Calvary's tree. There's those who would put it off till later. What does the scripture say? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So you want to know God's way? The work it is done. Christ has did it. Where do we go? We go to Christ. He's calling you to come unto him. When do we go? We can go now. And there's those who would ignore it. But the scriptures say, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. So where are you? Well, you're in a little period of time. And if you're in your sins, you don't need to be. Where do you want to be? If you want a spot in the Father's home, Lord Jesus says it's through him and only him. There's no other way. So how do you plan to get there? Our longing desire would be that you would come to Christ and accept that he has finished the work, it is done, and that you'd simply just believe it and rest on what he has done on Calvary's tree. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.